Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Jacob Reimer. The NFL draft is officially wrapped up in Pittsburgh, where 11 Buckeyes heard their names called. Three were selected on Saturday, with Lorenzo Styles landing with the Saints in the fifth round. Caden Curry is heading home after being selected by the Colts in round six. And Ethan Oneana was drafted by the Falcons in the seventh round. This now makes it 25 draft picks for Ohio State in the last 2 years, which is tied for the most by any school in a two-year span in the seven-round draft era. In baseball, it was a home run derby at Great American Ballpark last night as the Reds beat the Tigers 9-2. Sal Stewart, Ellie De La Cruz, Nate Lowe, and TJ Friedel each put one over the wall. Cincinnati goes for the series sweep today. As for Cleveland, they fell to the Blue Jays 5-3. The rubber match of their series is this afternoon. NBA playoffs yesterday, the Pistons dropped game three to the Magic, now trailing 2-1 in the series. The Thunder lead the Suns 3-0. The Knicks took game four from the Hawks to even the series at 2 games apiece. And the Timberwolves rolled in game four to a 3-1 series lead on the Nuggets. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan.
Oh, baby, it's time for On the Money, because let's face it, it's more fun that way.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
And presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Remember to pause before you play.
Here's Scotty Vegas and Dave Biddle.
Welcome to On the Money. Dave Biddle, Scotty Vegas, Jacob Reimer at the controls. Gents, how we doing today?
Good, good. You know what? Thursday night, we had so much fun out at the casino, and so I had a blast doing that, and I've been watching a little NBA and all that stuff, and I got to tell you, today, beautiful weather, getting out on the golf course.
There you go.
Yes.
You're not going to watch round eight of the draft when it starts? Oh, wait, that's not happening. I'm in draft withdrawal already. I'm one of these guys, I watched it. Now, part of it is because I was on draft duty for our website Bucknuts, you know, having to get our stories up there, our pre-writes, you know, you gotta rewrite the lead a little bit, get the team in there, the pick and everything, get the story up. But I'm like the nerd that watches it all the way through the seventh round. Now, I will admit, toward the end of the seventh round, I do start to, okay, I don't know if I can really make it, but I still love the third day of the NFL draft. That tells me how sick I am when it comes to the NFL draft. I know.
Now, I will say, when back in the day, when it used to be Saturday, and you would have, so the draft would be Saturday and Sunday, and you'd have the 15-minute, like, it would take 15 minutes for each pick in the first round, I would generally stick with it longer, with it being on the weekend. For me, Friday night, I didn't catch any of it on Friday night, and just really kind of in passing on Saturday. But I feel like the NFL does just about every major decision right. And you talked about this heading into the draft on Thursday night, where they lowered the amount of time in between picks from 10 minutes to 8 minutes. And I got to tell you, it was awesome, right? It felt like there was never a lull in the action. It was like, okay, bang, 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 pick, 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 here we go. And it just was like the perfect TV show. And that's what I give the NFL so much credit for, is they just put on the perfect event. That draft night, the pictures of everybody in Pittsburgh, just the number of people and the excitement and how they built up the Steelers pick and who they had at the draft. The NFL does it right.
It starts to go off the rails a little bit day three.
Yeah, when
when they have some of the, you know, former players that might be a little inebriated. That was funny. Unless you're a Steeler fan, you didn't think this was funny. I think everybody else thought it was funny. Mark Ingram's son, who's probably what do we think, like 4 years old? Mark Ingram holds him up. This is in Pittsburgh, as you know, obviously, Scotty. Mark Ingram is like just talking crap to Steeler fans, holds his 4-year-old son up. Maybe he's five at the oldest. And he says, and the Steelers still suck. To the Steelers fan, I'm like, geez. If you got a problem, come see me. I was like, wow. That was entertaining.
I thought it was crazy, too, when Jeremiah Love was taken by the Cardinals and with their first-round pick at third overall. And then they had James Conner announce their second-round pick. So after you just draft his replacement in the first round, you're having him make the pick in the second round.
That is great.
That was insane to me.
That's a good point. And Ohio State did have the most players drafted of any other school with 11. Do you guys know who was tied with 10 each for second place? This surprised me a little bit, one of them. It wouldn't have a few years ago at all. In fact, I would have expected.
Was it Clemson?
No, they had 9, so they were close. Okay. But there was two. So Ohio State had 11. And I love how Ohio State's 11. This one wasn't like it was like backloaded. It was very much front loaded. 4 firsts, 3 seconds, 1 third, 1/5, 1/6, and 1/7. All right, Alabama and A&M.
So A&M surprised you?
Bama did.
Oh, Bama surprised you.
Would not have surprised me, you know, 5 years ago during the Saban era where they were right with Ohio State, sometimes better than Ohio State at putting players in the NFL. So,
I mean, both of those were playoff teams. So I don't think that's too shocking, right?
That's true. I just thought Bama, I just would have thought it might have been like Miami or like, even though Clemson wasn't that good, I thought there was a lot of Clemson players. But yeah, Ohio State, once again, they take the mantle. Now, what do you think about, okay, I don't want to spoil it. It feels like we're picking on the Steelers now. Drew Aller, I mean, we've followed his career since high school, you know, more so during his 4 years at Penn State. Great kid, big prototype, big arm. He's actually somewhat mobile, but there's just, you know, there's that it factor, and he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
He just, I just, it feels like, now who knows, he could end up being like a really good NFL quarterback, and I could eat my words. It feels like that was just throwing away a third round pick by the Steelers.
So, and I actually had the stats, because I'm always curious, draft time, I always like to look at some of the later round quarterback picks and the successes of later round picks, and it's so rare that once you get outside of that first round, it's so rare that you find a quarterback. And even sometimes when you get later first round, they just don't hit. And Drew Aller to me is one of those guys that's going to fit in the, probably not going to work out. Maybe a backup type role.
Mason Rudolph, who also was a third round pick.
Right.
Big guy. Yes.
Yeah. It's funny though, Dave, because going through the stats of last year's starting quarterbacks in the NFL, 25 of them of the 32 were first round picks. And, you know, it's just a very, very small handful of guys that are later round picks that stick around. So, I mean, third round seemed too early, but we were talking about this guy 2 years ago as being like, okay, he's got all the measurables. He's got the talent. Maybe he's a late bloomer. I don't see it. But we also didn't see probably the resurgence of a Sam Darnold either, right?
Well, that's true. That's true. But like coming out, I remember thinking Sam Darnold was going to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
You know, and it was Baker instead, right? Which ended up, I mean, that early on, that looked really good. And now you really could make an argument. I mean, Baker's a good NFL quarterback. And with Darnold, he definitely resurrected his career. He's a Super Bowl champion. But, like, do we think the Seahawks won the Super Bowl because of him? No, but he was still good. I mean, they won it because of their running game, their defense. Jackson Smith and Jigba. All right, let's take a look at this here. So, what are some other reaches? Maybe some of your favorite picks during the draft. Also, I do think the Browns did a good job. I liked what my Bengals did. You know, not even having a first-round pick, but I like what they did with that trade.
I got to ask you this.
Go ahead. Caleb Downs?
Specifically about the Bengals, because I'm sitting there watching the draft with you, and I asked Jacob this actually last hour as a Bengals fan.
And so, I heard that on the way, and I didn't even know Rhyme Time was a Bengals fan. So you were already like high on my list. It just raised it another notch.
Let's go.
So if you could redo the trade, all right, let's just say, would you take Dexter Lawrence for Caleb Downs? If you could completely redo it right now, would you?
I would not redo it, no.
Okay, so no. You'd stick with the Dexter Lawrence over Caleb Downs?
Yes.
Okay.
I would.
I thought so watching with you. That's kind of the vibe I got watching the draft with you.
I think I said that.
Yeah.
I think you asked me then. I think maybe it was somebody we had, you know, Jacob was there. My buddy James was there with us. Maybe somebody else asked me, but I said, yeah, I would still do it. I said, gives me a little trepidation now. I didn't want to see Caleb Downs there at 10. I really didn't think he was going to fall there. I knew there was all the talk. Oh, safeties, you know, they don't go in the top 10. Jamal Adams was the last one 9 years ago. Plus, Caleb Downs is an undersized safety. And I was like, BS, BS. This kid is different. You can say he's undersized at 6'2", 205. He punches above his weight class. He's a human missile out there. He's the smartest football player I think I've ever covered at Ohio State. We've covered some really smart, from a football IQ perspective, he's right there. I think he's at the top of the list of the smartest football players I've covered. Great job by the Cowboys. Yeah, you move up one spot, but you give up 2 fifth-round picks. I don't even know who those fifth-round picks were. To get Caleb Downs at 11, this is an absolute steal for the Cowboys. And are you a Cowboy hater?
No.
I'm not either, so I can kind of root for them. Like, I don't like the Cowboys. I'm not a big favorite second-team guy, but I do remember when I was a little kid, my first favorite football player was Tony Dorsett, so great job by the Cowboys.
I was also stunned that the Giants, like the other team in that trade, didn't take Caleb Downs, because I thought coming into this, like, that was the perfect John Harbaugh safety. Like, he drafted Ed Reed. Like, Like, come on. Like, what are we doing here? I thought that was a lot coming into this thing.
And that would have made it worse, even though that doesn't make any sense. Because that would have been straight up that would have been the straight up trade instead of the offensive tackle from Miami that the Giants took. That'll always be looked at as the straight up trade, Dexter Lawrence for Maui Goa. Yeah, it's stunning that he fell there. I think Arvell Reese, now he's going to lose a little money, like not a lot, being in the fifth pick than the second pick. I'd much rather go to the Giants. If I'm going to be in New York, I'd much rather play for the Giants than the Jets, even if I have to give up a little bit of money on the front end. Being the fifth pick, and there's a little less pressure on him. I mean, the Giants, yeah, they've been down for a while. I mean, if you had to play for one of the New York franchises, who are you picking?
Oh, absolutely the Giants.
Yeah, and look at their head coach. I mean, I don't want to admit it, but like he's a really, it's one of the reasons I feel good about like the Bengals in that division this year. Jesse Minter might be a great head coach. Who knows? But I know John Harbaugh is a really good head coach.
Well, and we're talking about surprises in the draft, and you and I at the casino, when Carnell Tate went number 4, that was the biggest roar we heard all night was, oh my gosh, Carnell Tate going at 4. His odds to go 4th overall were actually 27-1. That's how crazy the odds were on Tate. Couple of the other betting notes from the draft night. So Caleb Downs, we talked about falling to 11. He was actually -600 to be a top 10 pick. I think everybody expected that there was no way he was getting by the Giants at 10. So -600 to be a top 10 pick. And then the other thing is, one of the other shockers of the night is Ty Simpson going 13 to the Rams. He was 40-1 to be drafted 13th by the Rams. There were actually 17 players. I didn't even realize that it went this deep as far as the number of guys that you could bet on who the pick was going to be, but there were 17 guys that were listed above Ty Simpson to go and be the 13th pick of the draft.
We did our promo videos with our friends Noah and Justin over at the casino, and we liked the over 1.5 quarterbacks taken in the first round. We thought we might have to sweat it out a little bit. Maybe someone would trade up, 32nd pick to get Ty Simpson, or he goes 13th.
No sweat. You had that cash right away.
And I can't wait to get your guys' thoughts on this. All right. Is the NFL draft the best sporting event that doesn't actually involve playing a sport? We're going to discuss that next on The Money.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. I just freaked the hell out of someone. So bad. Remember the old days when football used to have an off-season? Well, we at The Fan think that really sucked. That's why we bring you Austin and Berm, America's number one resource for Buckeye football conversation, is voted by Fake Surveys Incorporated. Catch their daily podcast called The Beat and their breaking news podcast, Snap Judgments, as they broadcast live from Roosters on Mondays, and they come right to your house and massage your tender areas. Ooh. They'll do it all. Austin and Berm on The Fan's YouTube channel and 10TV+.
Amori, actress and Fair Celebrity Ambassador.
Game day isn't staged. It's lived. It's the shopping, the cooking, the laughter. For families managing food allergy, preparation means everything. It's knowing the signs, having a plan, and carrying epinephrine everywhere life takes you. Because readiness doesn't take away the risk. It brings back the joy. When you're ready to act, you're ready to live.
Visit foodallergy.org/ready-to-act to learn more.
Man once shaved Timmy's leg live on the air. Tune in weekdays at 3 to see what else they'll shave. Wait, what else they'll shave? Who the hell wants to listen to that?
Common Man and Timmy. Smooth as silk.
Okay, The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
We have a lot of clouds around for the morning hours, but just like yesterday, during the afternoon, we'll gradually see more sunshine break through. Late day high temperature climbs to around 70, again just like yesterday. Mostly clear skies tonight, back around 50 for a low. Mostly sunny skies for tomorrow. It'll be warmer as well, with highs returning to the lower 80s. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Justin Gertz.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. And now back to a show featuring two dudes who've been kicked out of their homes by angry wives. This pretty much sums up every show we have here on The Fan. You're listening to On The Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
So the NFL draft was a ton of fun over the last few days. So it got us thinking, what are the best sporting events throughout the year where a game isn't even played. And initially it was like, oh, of course it's NFL draft. That's the best one. However, we brainstormed together and we came up with a long list of different
options. You did
good.
I didn't think there would be a close second. And now, do we agree that the NFL draft is the best sporting event that doesn't include actually playing a sport? Can we go around the table real quick?
Well, let me read off the list.
I will. But I'm just going to say that is my number one, even knowing the list.
I'm going to say no, and I'm guaranteeing Jacob's going to say no.
I know what you guys are going to say. Okay, right. Go ahead.
Here's the list. First off, NFL draft, which we just had three fun days of. One we wrote down was NBA draft lottery. Always kind of a fun thing to see those
balls. Yes. I always think that's underrated. Yes.
Yep. And how about this? And I think this is where Jacob and I are going to go. The Selection Sunday bracket reveal.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I mean, oh yes.
Now, we'll say this.
Being played.
We did a show at the casino for the bracket reveal one year.
Yes, we did.
And we've also done shows for the NFL draft. One of those shows is way, way, way more lively than the other.
Well, I will say this, however, to combat that, OSU wasn't even making the tournament the year we did our little Selection Sunday party. So that kind of,
that was the,
here in Columbus, kind of.
That was the when they lost to, Old Dominion, but
Oral Roberts.
Oral Roberts.
No,
yeah.
It's not. No,
it wasn't. Oh,
no.
Okay.
It was a COVID year.
It all runs together.
It didn't happen.
So we have Selection Sunday. No sport being played, but that is a great sporting event. The College Football Playoff Reveal.
Ooh, that's a good one.
And we did do a party for that, and there was a lot of excitement for that.
We were live on the air for one of them.
Yeah.
2019, our first year, when we were like, is it going to be Ohio State or LSU with the number one seed? We were live on the air for that. Yeah. How about the first one ever? And it was just four teams on Ohio State. 2014, we're like, oh, is Ohio State going to get in?
I will never
Does it
forget.
Even matter? Because even though, even though Cardell looked good against Wisconsin, are we really going to have a chance against Alabama? And then Ohio State got in, and we're like, yes! All right, now we got to play Alabama, and it's just, man, that's a good one. Go ahead.
I will never forget that one because we were headed back from Indianapolis, from the Big Ten Championship, heading back to Columbus, and I had to listen to the selection show on the radio. And I literally pulled over the car and said, honey, to my wife, you got to drive. Well, you got to drive the rest of the way because I'm just too tense right now.
I might put the car in a ditch. Yeah.
And I remember just praying that Ohio State could get into that first playoff. Not even really expecting them to go on and win it, but just wanting them to be a part of it. So the excitement of the College Football Playoff reveal, that's absolutely on the list. We also wrote down NBA draft. We wrote down NHL draft. We had College Football Signing Day.
Yes.
Another day. No sports being played. However, there's a lot of drama, a lot of excitement around that.
Even now, it's maybe
absolutely.
Not, because even this year, if you're an Ohio State fan, like this year, now obviously it's the early signing period now in December, not what it used to be in February. And I will concede that it was more interesting than it is now, but it's still highly interesting. Like, if you're an Ohio State fan, there was a heck of a lot of drama with Chris Henry Jr.
Yeah.
And Legend Bay.
And think back to the drama with Jeremiah Smith.
Yes. No doubt. Ryan Day, getting weak in the knees. He did a little performative acting there, but it was still, I've never seen anything like that. It was pretty funny when he got the word that they got J.J. Smith. Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great one.
The other ones that we wrote down, now this one doesn't really pertain as much to us, but this just in general for sports fans, World Cup pairings for soccer, where everybody gets all excited about, okay, who's going to be in what pool. And then trade deadline day for baseball is another one that people get really excited for. NFL a little bit as well. And then the start of free agency for NFL.
Ooh,
so again,
like
we're
that.
Going through the list of the best events where no sport is actually being played.
I'll also throw an NBA free agency when that starts.
Okay, yeah.
And I think the NFL free agency has one of the funniest terms ever. The start of legal tampering,
yeah.
Which is really when free agency starts. That Monday is really, because that's when everything gets released. That first wave comes on that Monday. The start of legal tampering. All right, let's give our top three.
All right, top three. Right. Let's let Jacob go first.
Okay.
All right.
Start. Just go one. Just go three, one, two, one.
Yes.
Do all
however
three
you
want
to do it.
Do all three of mine right here. I'm going to go NFL draft at three.
Oh, and now I'm curious what's going to be two.
Now, I would have put NBA free agency in this, but back when Woj was doing it, because I feel like it was a completely different level when it was him and you have the Woj bombs and everything. But
he hates Shams.
it doesn't have the same level. So I don't have that in my top three. But I got NFL draft at three, and just because I love brackets, I'm going to go the playoff, college football playoff at two, and then, of course, Selection Sunday at number one.
Okay. I was going to have to say the blasphemy, but then that's, you know, the college football playoff reveal is really good.
I'm a sicko for brackets, really, man. Good.
I mean, we were at the casino for that this year, too, for the reveal. And, like, Notre Dame not making it because the betting odds were Notre Dame was in, Miami was out. That was what all the betting odds were, right?
For sure.
And then when Notre Dame did not get taken, people, it was like, oh, and the Notre Dame fans that were there were saying other things.
it was right, Scotty,
you go ahead.
Well, mine is actually the exact same as Jacob's.
You're the draft third.
I have the draft third. Wow. Number two, college football playoffs. And that's just gotten better and better as we go. Now that we're at 12 teams, there's so much drama. It used to be you would get to that college football playoff Sunday where they do the unveiling and you would pretty much know what the bracket was going to look like. But now there's so much drama with the 12 team. It's like, okay, what bowl are they going to play in? And who's going to get the byes and all that stuff. So I've got that at two. And then for me, it's Selection Sunday. That's number one. That will always be number one. I'm a bracket guy as well. So, yeah, I got that at number one.
Okay, I've got number one NFL draft. I'm going to say something about that here in a second. Number one NFL draft for me. Number two, college football playoff reveal. That is really cool. And Selection Sunday, which has been something that I have loved since I was a super little kid. So, here's the thing about the NFL draft. You talk about drama. It's the best reality show on TV. And I'm going to get to a couple examples from this year's draft. And there's examples every year. The fact that it goes on for 3 days helps the argument here too, because there's so much going on.
I think it hurts it.
Well,
okay. the best drama was Mel Kiper crashing out last year.
I was going to say Shedeur Sanders, you know, now he was taking his victory laps left and right. It's like, calm down. I know he was technically an all pro. Calm down, Mel. Do we really think that Shedeur is going to be like a great quarterback? But he was taking victory lap after victory lap, during this year's draft on that. It's the best reality show on TV. And what else is it? It's the fusion of the two most popular sports in America. NFL's one, college football's two, and then there's a distant gap till whatever you get to number three, whether it's NBA, college basketball, Major League Baseball, whatever it might be, soccer, massive gap. So for those reasons, and then the drama. And again, we talked off the air about like when Brady Quinn had to go, you know, and they took Ted Ginn Jr. over and people are like, how can they do this? And then Ted Ginn Jr. ends up playing 14 years in the NFL. And people are like, how is Brady Quinn slipping? Every year there's an example. This year, my favorite. If you're a Steeler fan, you're not going to like this. So the Steelers are on the phone with USC wide receiver Mekhi Lemon, telling him, we are taking you at 21. He's talking to Omar Khan, the GM of the Steelers. He asks Omar Khan, because he looks at his other phone and he says, he asked the Steelers GM, why are the Eagles calling me? Why are the Eagles calling me? And Omar Khan's heart must have just sunk when that happened. And then his agent hands him a phone and said, this is the Eagles. They're taking you right now. Stuff like that's hilarious. And then, you know, they kind of had to like panic there and they took an offensive lineman who might end up being very good, but wasn't expected to go that high. I mean, the drama with the NFL draft plus the fusion of college football and the NFL, I just think it's the best. But this is a good debate. When I came up with this, it was really going to be, is there even a close second?
Yeah.
And you guys were like, there's
a clear number
one.
And
we have it at three.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm in the minority here. You guys gave it the bronze.
Okay.
I didn't even get the silver.
Now, and absolutely, Jacob will make probably an even better argument for Selection Sunday.
Okay.
However, for me, I love the fact that we have the entire bracket reveal in an hour, right? It's a short period of time, and the excitement of the entire championship week leads up to it. So you've got so many teams. Some teams are going to be in the bracket for the first time ever, so you're going to have them going crazy and the excitement over that. And every single team needs to find out exactly what their fate is going to be for the next couple weeks. So I just love the drama. You know, and I'm sitting there with my big dry erase board and I'm trying to write in all the teams. It's an hour. It's not 3 days worth. So for me, it's Selection Sunday.
Yeah, it's clearly Selection Sunday for me. And like you're mentioning, Scotty, the drama with it, the bubble teams, like, will they know if they're going to be in? Are they going to go to Dayton? Are they even, are they safely in? Are they going to be completely out playing in the NIT? And then, yeah, the shots of like seeing all the mid-majors when they are getting to the tournament and then they cut it to the team and you got all the fans like in their arena just going nuts. Cause like, yeah, we're going to the tournament. And then you can immediately think of like, oh, that's a potential upset pick. Like you're already thinking of what some paths could be.
And yes. That is cool. But how about when they show like, you know, even in the second round of a draft or sometimes even in the third round, they'll show like the kid that got drafted and his family. And it's like they just won the lottery because they basically did. Now, especially in the first round. That's so cool. But that's cool, too, when they show, like, Wright State making it, and they're going crazy, like...
The Nutter Center just going nuts.
Yes. Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
No pun intended. I mean, this ended up being a way better discussion. I mean, I thought it'd be a fun discussion, but you guys... And I do think it's close. You guys, you didn't talk me into it, because I think the NFL draft's the best. I want the chat on YouTube to chime in on this. I'm curious what they're going to say about this.
I did think of another one that's... I'll give it real quick.
Yeah.
It's not top three worthy, but it's just another one that came to mind, and it's when they're selecting the team for the Ryder Cup. This will play for the golf fans. And the day before when you get the laid out pairings of what they're going to be.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a pretty exciting day.
Thank you, because in my head, I kept going through, okay, there's got to be a golf day where they're not actually playing that's actually a very exciting. But you hit it right. It's Ryder Cup where they actually make the selections for the teams. Really good stuff. All right, we're going to switch gears. Let's talk more college sports. We're going to talk about this new 5-for-5 deal. What does that mean for Ohio State going forward? Maybe Ohio State hoops. And still talk a lot of chatter about a 24-team playoff. A lot of excitement in college sports. We'll talk more about it in 2 minutes right here on the...
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Common Man here for
Arbiter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on the Fan app.
Scotty Vegas is still offering player props at his kids' soccer games. This is On the Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
All right, a potentially huge change in NCAA eligibility rules could be coming as soon as this summer. And what they're calling it is 5-for-5 or 5-in-5. And what it basically means is now instead of you have 4 years to play out your eligibility, you would have 5 years. And what it'll prevent is some of the medical red shirts and guys playing for a 6 year and hanging around and trying to get a 7th year of eligibility. That would go away. It would just allow people to play 5 seasons in 5 years. And a big thing that keeps coming out is, will it be retroactive? Will now the college basketball players who just finished up their seasons, had their senior days, celebrated all that stuff, will they be eligible to play again next year? As that is kind of being talked about, I was reading an article where Tom Izzo is kind of talking about, do you save roster spaces for kids that are you expected to be gone? We're already in the process of the transfer portal where people are already transferring in and you're figuring out your teams for next year. Well, you might have a ton of athletes now become eligible to play again. And one of the things that Ohio State fans are thinking is, well, does that mean a Bruce Thornton, who is Ohio State's all-time leading scorer? Boy, would he blow the doors off of that record if he came back for another year. But would that mean a potential Bruce Thornton back at Ohio State hoops? And this is across the country, right? So even I'm reading Missouri. There's an article about how Missouri players they're saving a couple spots on their roster for if guys can come back. This is a wild change. I think it's weird that the fact that it could be instituted and actually guys that had their senior days could come back. But in the NCAA, what isn't weird at this point?
Exactly, because what if these guys threaten to sue, which somebody would do more than just threaten, they would sue. And how's the NCAA been doing in courts? Not very well when it comes to this stuff. That's the thing about the NIL. Like the first time that they, you know, And with tampering, the first time they tried to like suspend a coach, because that's a new thing that they were trying to get out there with, you know, everything that happened with Ole Miss and some other programs, like the allegations of tampering. The first time a big time head coach is nailed with a serious suspension and that school is nailed with like a $100,000 or, you know, $500,000 fine by the NCAA, they'll take that to court and win. The schools will. It's laughable to me. This is very interesting. I didn't realize there was even the possibility this could be retroactive. I know it's just a possibility at this point. Couple things to unpack here. Would Bruce want to come back? That'd be the first thing that Diebler would have to find out. I would love to have him back. I don't even think it's debatable. Like, if he'd want to come back, they can make the money right, and the guys that they've brought in would be okay with it, like, from the portal. Depth is great. I mean, they learned that the hard way this year, and they were down to, like, no bench at one point.
Right.
I mean, eventually Chapman got going a little bit, but when Noel got hurt, they had, like, no bench at all. We'd be texting each other. We scored as many points as Ohio State's bench did tonight. Zero. I like depth. I would have him back in a heartbeat. I don't know if he'd want to come back. He might just be ready to go move on with his life and go to, even if he's going to be playing in Europe, he'll play pro basketball. I don't see Bruce being an NBA player. Maybe he could be a 10-day contract guy or something like that. Of course, I didn't think Jay Sean Tate was going to be an NBA player. So you never know, but he's going to play pro basketball. He might just be ready to go to Europe or something.
With the NIL possibilities, though.
That's true.
And what he could make here.
That's true. He'd be making more money here.
It's hard to think that he wouldn't want to come back, right? And, you know, comfortable. Now, what a weird situation, though. Like, you think you're done. You went through your senior day. Everything, like, I don't even know. Is he still taking classes? Is he still in Columbus? Is he still at Ohio State? There's so many questions about the eligibility.
Is he training someplace to get ready for the draft or whatever's next for him?
Exactly.
I imagine he's still in Columbus if I had to guess, because he still has his apartment or wherever he lived. I'm just guessing.
And then the other thing, guys, is this isn't set in stone yet, right? This is something that we expect to possibly pass in the summertime. But, like, what if this thing passes in, like, mid-June or mid-July? And so these guys have already, like, kind of moved on and are doing their own things. But the thing is, if it does pass, you're right. There will be lawsuits from graduating seniors that are like, hey, then why are we not eligible? So it's going to be wild, Jacob.
Well, and I think the biggest thing right now is, like, you've kind of seen, if you follow the transfer portal as extensively as I have in college basketball, like, it's kind of come to a little standstill because, yeah, coaches are trying to figure out, like, what roster spots do they have left? Like, is this thing going to get passed to where they can bring guys back? And the biggest one right now that determines, like, preseason rankings will be Florida, because they're trying to get Denzel Aberdeen back from Kentucky, who was on that championship team 2 years ago. And if he needs a waiver, if he doesn't get that, then they still have a spot open for a shooting guard that they would need to get. But how active can you be trying to get that? Because there's still potentially some top guards you can fill that spot, but you already know that you have Denzel Aberdeen coming back. So what do you do in this sort of process?
Yeah, if you're Ohio State, now let's say Diebler reaches out and Bruce is interested, I would definitely save one spot. I wouldn't be saying, I don't think anybody else would be even be in the mix here for Ohio State. You're saying like Michigan State has a couple. I would save maybe one spot because they do still have what? Even with the four transfers they brought in and they're bringing in two freshmen, they still have two scholarship spots to fill, or is it three?
I think it might be three. Might be three.
I think it's three because they only have, so Bynum's coming back, Govan's coming back. They don't have a lot of guys coming back. So, yeah, I think they have three spots to fill. I would fill two of those.
Two more
guys in the portal just for depth, and then maybe save one, assuming Bruce would want to do this. But I wouldn't, yeah, I definitely, if I was Izzo, I probably wouldn't want to risk saving two spots.
You also have to make sure you're saving the money, right? Like, as far as the NIL, don't go blowing all of your NIL money when you could have all of these seniors
you get Bruce eligible. To come back. Like, Bruce, you're coming back. You're going to take it like a 90% pay cut. Like, no, I'm not coming back then.
Now, you would start the fundraising and figure out a way. Okay, hey, this is the Bruce fifth year fund, and you'd find a way to find the money for it. Put some big parlays together and find a way to win those and get the money. But to be honest with you, it is so chaotic. I honestly am probably hoping that this doesn't happen until next fall, where it's like, okay, let's get to the point where we're into a new academic year and it actually start for next season. As far as Ohio State football, Dave, Do you think this it would impact Ohio State football really at all? Because if you look at most of the Ohio State roster, they're eligible to go, or a lot of the roster, they're eligible to go to the NFL. Would you see a lot of guys stick around for a fifth year?
It's interesting. I don't think it'd have a big factor. It might be if you had, you know, the old rule where you only could play in four games, old rule meaning like 2 years ago, where you only can play in four games and you could still redshirt, right? Now you can play it up to nine. And that's regular season games. Then you can still play, if you make the CFP, you can play in the postseason and it doesn't count. So like basically now,
I believe we'd be getting rid of all red shirts with this.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah. That wouldn't even factor. Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like even like right now, it's not really a factor any longer.
Yeah.
Because you can still redshirt even if you play in. You can play, if your team got to the national championship game, you could, in theory, play nine games in the regular season and then play, you know, three games in the postseason, play 12 games and still have a redshirt year right now with the rules. So I don't think this would make a big difference for an Ohio State. This would be for more for teams that that rely on those fifth-year seniors. Although, what's Ohio State trying to do now? They are trying to get older. So maybe getting guys from the portal who would be out of eligibility, who would not be fifth-year seniors, they could bring those guys in. Ohio State finds a way to maximize everything. They do. They're just on point with everything they do over there. They don't miss anything. Mark Pantoni and his staff and Ryan Day, obviously, and his staff. I bet they would find a way to maximize it, Scott.
You know, I think the one thing that you could see with Ohio State football with it is if there is a graduate, well, it wouldn't be graduating anymore, but a fourth-year player that's about to go into their fifth year that had just finished up their eligibility somewhere else, and you could potentially get them for 1 year at Ohio State as a one-year fix, that might be where Ohio State, it comes into play for them.
That's what I'm saying, because they're trying to, like, get older. Yeah.
Caden Curry's the perfect example, because he's even said, like, if this was in effect for this offseason, like, he would have came back for this year, for a fifth year, but because it's not a thing, like, he's just going with the NFL draft.
And he's going to take a pay cut.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the story, really interesting story on The Athletic. You know, they interviewed Riley Leonard and Will Howard, the two quarterbacks that faced off in the national championship game in 2024. Then they're taken in the sixth round of last year's draft, four picks apart from each other. And they both talked about, they didn't say exactly how much they made. In fact, Will was even a little bit more coy about it. You could get a good sense that they were both making seven figures. I think with Will, it was probably like right at a million. I think Riley was making a little bit more than that. But they were talking about how being sixth round picks in the NFL, they had to take substantial pay cuts. It's just, this is the world we're living in. Guys are taking substantial pay cuts, going from a college football player to an NFL player. Now, sixth round pick, I get it, but still, it's absolutely wild. What else is wild is That's Trash. That's coming up next on The Money.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Welcome to Tire Disc.
Too many families face a widening gap between what they can afford and what they need to thrive. More than half of families in the U.S. today are one paycheck away from financial crisis. At Good360, we deliver hope when families need it most, providing essentials like clothing, hygiene items, and household goods. Put help within reach. Learn more at good360.org.
Spring cleaning is...
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
A gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
Heather and I had an argument just like any other couple. I was lost. I had snapped. I had a gun and I was going to take my own life. Heather helped me realize that there was still a life to live for the better of myself, my family. My weapon is now safely put away.
A moment of crisis can happen to anyone. Store your guns, locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Catch Ohio State baseball all season long on The Fan 2. You can find the magical land of The Fan 2 by tuning into 1460 on your AM dial or clicking on The Fan's HD2 feed. Tyler Danberg thanks you. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and 32-ounce Yuengling drafts for only $4. Dave Biddle named his own dog parlay. This is On the Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Welcome back to On the Money. Dave Biddle, Scotty Vegas, Jacob Reimer. Right now is our favorite segment when it comes to just wanting to vent. It's called That's Trash. Hit it, Jacob.
Take out the papers and the trash. Or you don't get no spending cash. If you don't scrub that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more.
That's trash.
All right, I try to be a courteous driver. I can't pronounce it, but I try to be a courteous driver. I'm also, you know, maybe not a slow driver, as you might know, Scotty.
No, you're not.
I do like to drive fast if it's nice and dry out there and safe. But I'm a courteous driver. I let people in, you know, and most people wave, especially if you're letting them in during like an intersection. Most people wave, or even in my neighborhood, you know, I could definitely get around this car that's parked, but I see somebody coming, I get behind the car, and usually people wave. Sometimes people don't wave, and then I wish I knew that in advance, and I never would have let them in. The people that are wave are good people. They're part of our society. We cherish you. The people that don't wave when you let them in, that's trash.
Take out the trash.
100% agree. In fact, on our street, we got like maybe 20 houses on the street. And so whenever a car comes down, you always give the little wave, right? And so sometimes it might be a visitor or a guest or something, but everyone still waves. And so you always know who the jerk is if they do not wave back. So I'm with you on that with the trash. So guys, this week it came out again about the push for the 24 team college football playoff. And I got to tell you, I was all about expanding to 12. Love the idea of 12. I think it's worked out really great for the first 2 years. I think it's fun. I think it's entertaining. It brings a lot of different things to play where you got the home playoff games. You got the excitement over who's going to get the bye and all this. If we get to the point where there is a 24 team college football playoff, then the regular season isn't going to matter at all. Right? You're going to see teams that are 7-5 that are in the playoffs. And I hate that. Like, I want the college football regular season to matter. I think at 12, it still does. You still reward teams with the bye, with the home games, and things like that. I just think this push for 24 sucks. I know it's all about money, but I think it's absolute trash.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
So my turn now?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I saw this on Twitter. This was in response to, I would assume it was 43 points off the bench last night for Minnesota.
Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. And Edwards getting hurt. Dante DiVincenzo getting hurt. Well, this is a tweet that was put out by Damian Peters with the NBA. I'd like to highlight Io DeSumo, Zach LaVine, Alex Caruso, Nikola Vucevic, Kobe White, Lonzo Ball, DeMar DeRozan equals zero acquired first round picks. Absolute front office disaster by the Chicago Bulls. And a franchise that's wanting to get back to their glory days of when they had Michael. Like, I mean, a lot of those guys are all-stars and were all-stars when they were in Chicago, and letting them go, trading them away, and not getting any first-round picks, that is absolutely trash.
And that's your franchise.
That is. I've been.
I apologize. I was
like, just couldn't believe my luck in the 90s, and since then I've been just consistently getting paid back for that. They're a trash franchise. They finally got rid of their GM and basketball, director of basketball operations. But you're right. They got lucky finally. They did finally get their they're going to get their first rounder this year from the Blazers for Lauri Markkanen. It was a three-team trade. Blazers had to be – out of the lottery. So they've had the possibility for like the last 5 years. But you're right. That's crazy that they never got a first-round pick after all those trades. All right. Here's the next one. My next one is movies. Like, it feels like – it's been like the near death of good movies. Like, remember, it'd be like when we were growing up, Scott, it would be like, and not even that long ago, maybe, like, it would get like five like great movies a year, felt like, right? Like, things that you weren't excited to see all of, but five like blockbusters a year,
yes.
Felt like, right?
Yes.
Now it feels like we're lucky to get one a year, and like lucky to get one a year. And I'm curious to get your guys' take on this. I'll say comedies have taken the biggest hit. But it's like really everything's taking a hit. Really everything's taking a hit. Cause it's like everything is like a remake, a sequel, or a cartoon.
Yeah.
And movies are just, they've taken such a massive hit, and I feel like that's trash.
I love it because it's trash.
Do you think comedies have taken the biggest hit? Or do you
think R-rated comedy that
everybody's
yeah.
afraid of getting, canceled.
So it's amazing that you brought this up because the timing of it is perfect, Dave, because I was actually on Friday, we were like looking for a movie to go to. It was like, okay, a Friday night where we weren't having volleyball. I was like, okay, hey, let's go out to the movie theater. And so we pull up the list of movies. And I'm telling you, it was just the worst list that you could ever imagine. I'm like, there is absolutely nothing out that I want to see at all. I'd rather just, we'll find something on Netflix or we'll find something on Amazon or something, because it was just a list of 12 crap movies. I'm like, I'm not paying to go watch this. I love movie theater popcorn a lot, but I'm not paying just to eat the popcorn watch a terrible movie.
Just go in and get the popcorn and then come and then go home and watch on Netflix or something.
That's a good call. But it's a 20-minute drive, so it's a little out of the way.
The to-go popcorn, call the movie theater ahead of time. I get a couple of big old buckets of to-go popcorn.
Can you get it delivered? At what point are we going to start like door dashing movie theater popcorn? Has that already happened?
You can probably do it. I don't know.
I love it. Okay, so I was out last night and with a group of friends, and then you have some people that kind of join in and out and all that stuff. And I got to be honest with you, and I haven't noticed it in a while, but with new people coming up talking to you, you ever think about how much when they're talking to you, spit is landing on your face? Like, I got to be honest with you.
When I feel it, yes.
So I swear, and I don't know why this was happening to me, but I swear, three people last night came up, were talking to me, and I could feel their spit just landing somewhere on me as I'm having a conversation with them.
I did not know that's where this was going.
I have to react when that happens.
I try not to.
I'm not trying to be like nice at that point. If you spit in my face, I'm going to react.
If you feel it, there has to be some sort of like blink or something like, whoa, did that actually just happen?
I know.
You got to give them the, what the heck?
Do you get the shirt? Like,
I don't go. They would have to like
I'll take my glasses off and clean them. And that would be the hint.
That would have to be like Roberto Alomar style to the ump for me to actually get up and do that. How about that old school reference?
Yeah, that's right. Maybe I was just like paranoid and somehow recognized it, but three different times spit landing on my face.
That's trash.
Take out the trash. So I'll give one more. I just recently moved, and as much as I love moving, it also isn't the most fun because of like all the heavy things that you're moving around, and just you get into your house and you get it all in there, and it's like then you've basically got trash all over the place trying to figure out where it all goes.
Yeah.
So I do love moving. The thought of it is cool, but the actual process of it, that's trash.
Well said. All right, my friends, the first hour of the show is in the book. Stick around for the second hour. This is On the Money.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
This is
live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Jacob Reimer. The NFL draft has officially come and gone with 11 Buckeyes hearing their names called, starting with Carnell Tate at 4th overall to the Tennessee Titans, to Ethan Onyeonwa to the Atlanta Falcons in round 7. This now makes it 25 draft picks for Ohio State in the last 2 years, which is tied for the most by any school in a 2-year span in the 7-round draft era. In baseball yesterday, the Cincinnati Reds cruised to a 9-2 win over the Detroit Tigers. Sal Stewart stayed hot with 3 hits and 5 RBIs on the night. Cincinnati goes for the series sweep this afternoon, while Cleveland fell to the Blue Jays yesterday 5-3. They go for the series win today. NBA playoffs yesterday, the Magic took a 2-1 series lead on the Pistons. Oklahoma City holds a 3-0 lead on the Suns. The Knicks even it up with the Hawks at 2 games apiece, and the Timberwolves with a 3-1 series lead on the Nuggets. The Cavs look to take a 3-1 lead over Toronto in game 4 today at 1 o'clock. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Some people golf on Sunday mornings. Some people place bets on the people playing golf on Sunday mornings. This is On the Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Welcome back to On the Money. 97.1 The Fan. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Scott Prokop. We, of course, like to call him Scotty Vegas. We have producer Rhyme Time at the controls, Jacob Reimer. And right about now, my friends, it is time for the Parlay Party. Hit it, Jacob. All right, Parlay Party is where we celebrate anything we want to celebrate. Could be a nice parlay that we hit. Could be anything at all. Scotty Vegas, my friend, what are you celebrating this morning?
I'm celebrating that looks like we're going to have a perfect weather day to get out and play some golf. And that's exactly what I'm going to do after this show. So can't wait for that. May is kind of, to me, that perfect golf season, right? Not too hot, where it's like ridiculous, but it's also not as rainy and cold as it was in April. So I cannot wait to get as many rounds of golf in as I can over the next month in the month of May. I'm also celebrating the fact that we had our Thursday night draft party at Hollywood Casino. So much fun. It was cool because we saw fans from so many different teams. We get on the mic and we're like, okay, who are you rooting for and who are you following tonight? And there were so many random fans. We had Chiefs fans. We had Raiders fans. We had Jets fans. We had 49ers fans. It was crazy. It was fun. And the one thing that we could all come together on was the excitement over the Buckeyes being drafted. And it felt like Thursday night was a Buckeye infomercial for four guys in the top 11. That was a lot of fun. Also, love the landing spots for all four. I think that they are in perfect conditions. And by the way, I think McDonald going to the Houston Texans, also a perfect fit. So that's what I'm celebrating this Sunday. What about you, Dave?
Yeah, with Caden McDonald, the way I try to spin that is at least he'll get to free agency faster than being a late first-round pick, being an early second-rounder, but I do think that's a good fit for him in Houston. I'm celebrating my Cincinnati Reds, 18-9. They started off so good, I keep waiting, like, okay, they're probably going to go on a losing streak here, and they just keep winning, so I'm really enjoying that. 18-9, the NL Central is tough. In last place right now is the Brewers. At 13-13, everybody else has a winning record, and the Brewers are at 500. But the Reds, 18-9, I love it. And I'm headed down there Thursday, little afternoon tilt with the Rockies. So probably a preview of the NLCS later this year, I joke. But headed down there Thursday for a little afternoon game. And then the last thing, Scotty, just like you said, celebrating just our relationship over there with Hollywood Casino, how much fun we have over there and all the draft parties we do and just parties in general over there, watch parties that we do. It's been a lot of fun, and this past Thursday was an absolute blast. Jacob, what are you celebrating, my friend?
I'll celebrate two things. I know I mentioned in the last segment that the process of moving is trash, but also celebrating the fact that I my wife and I did move into a new house, so we're excited. Nice. About that. It was real cool. So celebrating us, I guess, our family. But then I'm also celebrating Iodesumu, who I also mentioned in the last segment, because this stat came out. He is the first player in NBA history with 40-plus points, 75% field goal shooting, 5-plus threes without a miss, 10-plus free throws without a miss in any game, regular season or playoffs, off the bench or not.
Ooh. But the Bulls got a third-round pick for him. Oh, wait, the third-round doesn't exist. It's funny when you look back at some of the NBA players that were, like, eighth-round picks, like, way back in the day. Like, there was that many rounds in the NBA draft? Like, yeah, there was. Yeah. How about, what did the Bulls even get for him? Like, maybe a second rounder?
I think it was maybe a second.
Jeez. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You know what's funny is we talked last segment about what's trash, and the chatters are in agreement with us about movies these days. Like, it's funny.
It'd be hard to make a counter argument, wouldn't it?
So we had comedies have taken the biggest hit, but also the mid-level budget drama suspense movie doesn't exist anymore. That's from Trent. And then Martin, there are very few good actors left and no new ideas. I agree with that. Ohio Alliance, I'd rather watch Shawshank for the 50th time.
Exactly.
For free.
I'm watching
than go to the theater.
And I know you're not a Godfather fan, but I bet you if you sat down and watch, because to me it gets better every time I watch it. Same thing with Godfather 2. I find myself watching Godfather 2, Pulp Fiction, all my favorite movies. I'm trying to think. So the last good movie that I saw in the theater was last summer, and it was the Bob Dylan movie with Timothée Chalamet, who looks a little... Julian Sands starting to bulk up. He's looking less and less like Timothée Chalamet, which is good. That was a great movie. Now, I love Bob Dylan, but that was a really good movie. And then before that, maybe Top Gun Maverick, but that also goes into like what I'm saying. Everything is like, even the good movies are like sequels or remakes. Nothing is just unique anymore. We need Tarantino to come out with his. Tarantino is going to have one more huge movie, and we don't know when it's going to come out, but we need another Tarantino movie. You're right. I mean, movies have just become, they're either cartoons, remakes, or sequels.
Are there any chatters in there trolling me about my lack of knowledge in movies? Because if you've listened to Common Man and Timmy at all in the last week when I was producing for them, like that, honestly, any time at all that I've been on their show, like I just don't watch movies. So like
at all,
like they're asking me about like about people and like I don't know like an actor or something like that.
I'm kind of with you. I'm very, very rarely do I know a lot of the new movies. I did see one good movie in the theater lately. It was called Send Help, and it was a completely different style movie than I've seen in a long time. And so, but other than that, if you were to say what was the last movie other than that you've seen in the theater that was good, it would take me a long time to think about it.
And I call it the Bob Dylan movie. The movie is called A Complete Unknown, in case you haven't seen it. I highly recommend that, but it's just few and far between. Like I said, bringing up Shawshank, we had a year where Forrest Gump, Pulp Fiction, and Shawshank came out the same summer.
Yeah.
Now, what's funny is, like, we all like Forrest Gump, right? I mean, it should not have won the Oscar over Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction has an argument of being, like, the best movie period of the 90s. And, in my opinion, the best movie of my lifetime. But think about that. Shawshank, Pulp Fiction, and Forrest Gump, all in the summer of 94, getting released like within like a few months of each other. And now we can't find a good movie to save our lives.
As far as rewatchable, Shawshank of the three to me is the one I've seen the most.
Yeah. It's funny you said rewatchables. Like Bill Simmons does that podcast.
I love that podcast.
His one on Pulp Fiction is over 4 hours long. That's twice as long as the movie. And pretty much the same thing with Godfather 2. They consider Godfather 2 the best movie ever and Pulp Fiction the best movie since then, other than that. So, and Shawshank is up there. They did a rewatchable for Shawshank too, which is really good.
Yeah, good. That is a fun podcast. All right, let's wrap up our college basketball talk with Ohio State Hoops in the transfer portal talk, because they had one more addition this week, and it was Curtis Givens, junior guard from Memphis, 9 points a game, 2 rebounds, 2.5 assists. And Jacob, you're kind of more dialed into the transfer portal than I am. Curtis Givens, good pickup for Ohio State.
Yeah, good depth piece, good guard. Like, I mean, average nearly 10 points per game. And I think I like what Jake Diebler has done assessing the bench, because like that was the worst thing, one of the biggest weaknesses with last year's team was the lack of bench production. Like, I know you're going to get 20 points per game from Bruce. You're supposed to get north of 15 points per game from Mobley, but in some big Big Ten games, like, you still need that bench production to be pivotal. And I felt like they were 355th in bench points per game of 365. They were bottom 10 in college basketball in that, 11.1 per game. And you got Jimmy Williams now, who averaged 15 points per game at Duquesne, and Curtis Givens, who averaged nearly 10 at Memphis. I feel like those are two really solid depth pieces moving into next year.
And they still have, we think, 3 spots to fill, at least 2. So they're not done in the portal, hopefully. I think they've done a good job so far. I almost said solid. I think it's been better than solid, and it hasn't been like an A+. I give them a B+ so far in the portal.
Well, if you think the thing going into this offseason was to build around Mobley and Bynum and Thompson, that core three, if you were or even Royal coming into it before he announced that he was entering the portal, and then when he did, it turned to retaining Mobley, retaining Bynum, and you've got a 5-star coming in. And I felt like the pieces that they've added around that are best fit to really elevate those 3's games.
That's so well said. And for me, it's about playing the style that Jake actually wants to play, which is an up-tempo style. Wasn't able to do that when you have guys like Devin Royal and you have Bruce Thornton. As much as we love Bruce Thornton, he's not playing a up-tempo style. And so Jake has talked about for the last 2 years, every time, okay, we want to play faster, play faster, play faster. Well, now it looks like you've got the lineup that gives you the ability to do that, and you've got a little more defense. So to complement Mobley, Justin Pippen is a really good defensive guard. So I think that this line, this team makeup is more suited to play the style that Jake wants to play going forward.
Let me ask you guys this. Is Josh O, the big guy from Baylor who sat out last year, big 6'10 guy, is he definitely the starting center? And if so, how do we feel about that?
I think it's probably, I'm leaning more Yelovich and Ojonwana being the guy to come off the bench, the big to come off the bench. Now, I could be wrong. Like, it's going to be a battle, I think, for sure, going into next season. But I think right now I would lean Yelovich. But Ojonwana does have the big physical presence that can really bang with some of the bigs in the Big Ten that are always big as long as he's healthy.
And what's great is you've got depth this year at that position because you also have Ngovin, who's got some experience coming back too. So
they got very little out of him. Hopefully he's got the size and maybe he'll make a jump from sophomore to junior. But like, yeah, they have him, but are you going to get quality minutes from him?
No doubt. But what's going to be gone is you and I texting each other in the month of January and February, taking screenshots of the box score and saying, this is your bench. 0 points from your bench. It was miserable until Chapman really later in the year started scoring a little bit. It was embarrassing how bad the bench was.
And there was the game where Devin Royal at the last minute, I think he was sick. I think it was against Michigan State. He sat out and there was,
it was Michigan State.
You texted me like, we also just scored as many points as all of the Mr. Basketballs on this team combined from Ohio.
Yeah.
You had Devin Royal, Gabe Cups, Colin White. Am I missing somebody there? Colin White. That was just a really weak year for high school basketball in Ohio. The runner-up that year was Alex Bruscotter, who couldn't even see the field at Wright State. Colin White won it. Bruscotter redshirted his first year at Wright State, then couldn't even see the floor this year as a redshirt freshman and then transferred. He was the runner-up for Ohio Mr. Basketball that year.
And now Colin White at Akron and Gabe Cups at UIC.
When I saw Colin White went to Akron, I said, that's a good pickup for John Gross. And one of my coworkers said, John Gross is at the College of Charleston now.
Yes,
I'm like,
he is.
Oh, I was 2 years old when I learned that. All right, my friends, up next is This or That. This is On the Money.
Whatever you're doing right now, just know that Bo Bishop is enjoying a sip of bourbon. Even if this promo is playing in the morning, no judgment.
Ah, sweet morning drinking.
The Fan.
Looking to sell your
home. At Habitat for Humanity, we believe it's when you find peace, stability, and safety. But 1 in 3 people on Earth woke up today without a good home. Not because of chance, but because of high costs and other very real barriers. A housing crisis this big needs all of us. So let's open the door to opportunity and build a tomorrow where home is possible for everyone. Visit Habitat.org to learn more. Again, that's Habitat.org. Habitat for Humanity. Let's open the door.
Aaron, Ivan.
Your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bo sitting in his closet. Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains. And Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Those clouds continue to gradually break up as we go throughout the rest of the afternoon hours. We'll eventually have a high right around 70, a lot like what we had yesterday. Mostly clear skies greet us for tonight, back around 50 for a low. Mostly sunny and warmer on Monday, highs around 81. Then some showers and thunderstorms move in Monday overnight. For The Fan, I'm 10 Weather Impact Meteorologist Justin Gertz.
T-Bone and Tyvis are everything you want in a delicious breakfast. Lots of empty calories, no nutritional value.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Scotty Vegas can't even pronounce most of the names of the tennis players he bets on. He doesn't care, as long as they win. You're listening to On the Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
So we just wrapped up the 2026 draft. And so for This or That, I've got a question for you guys about the 2027 draft. But first, Jacob, hit it.
Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they come, yo. Here they come. Here they
this
come.
Or that. This or that.
All right, guys. So I was starting to take a peek at some of the mock drafts for 2027, of course. And one of the things that I saw is most people have 3 quarterbacks right near the top of the list. And those quarterbacks, of course, are C.J. Carr, Arch Manning, and Dante Moore. So this, that, or the other, I want you to rank them 1 through 3, how you think they end up going drafted in 2027.
First of all, Julian Sands should be in that conversation. And friends, he might be leading that conversation before the no one's taken Sellers over Julian Sain. That'll be their last time ever doing an NFL draft. They'll be fired and be on TV before we know it. Ranking those three in order, Sellers would be three for sure. Then it'd either be Dante Moore. See, I don't like that at all. And Arch Manning's not in there, right?
Yeah, no, Arch Manning.
You said so.
I said Arch Manning, CJ Carr, and Dante Moore.
Oh, not Sellers. No. Not Sellers. I got you. Geez, I don't like Manning either. I'm just not sold on any of those guys. I guess I would go with CJ Carr number one, and I would go Dante Moore two, Arch Manning three. I don't think it would pan out like that. I think someone's going to overdraft Arch, and Arch did turn it on toward the end of the year last year. I bet you Julian Sain's going to go over all of them.
Ooh.
Keep in mind, last year as a redshirt freshman, after the Wisconsin game, he was actually the betting favorite to win the Heisman over Mendoza.
Trust me, I know on that one.
He's in a Ryan Day offense, and this year he doesn't have a rookie offensive coordinator. He's got Arthur Smith as his offensive coordinator. He's got a veteran offensive line. He's got the best receiver in college football. I think he's going to have a good running game. Julian Sain is going to be the first quarterback off the board.
I love all of the arguments that you're making. I will take a bet with you right now, though, that I would take the field over Julian Sain as far as which quarterback is being drafted first next year.
You would need to give me a little juice on that because the odds would be in your favor. I would love it. Well, we'll figure something out.
All right. We'll figure something out.
You give me some plus money. I'm liking it. Yeah.
I think as a prospect, Dante Moore is the best of the three. So I'm going to go him one. I would put him, honest to God answer, as one. But I think of how it'll play out, I think because of the Manning name will be a factor that like people will want him. He's still a good prospect. So I think the order will go Arch, then, I just drew a blank on the name that I said. Oh, Dante Moore. Yeah. Well, I can't believe that just happened. Arch Manning, Dante Moore, and then I'll go CJ Carr at three.
And Brugler I think Dane Brugler does a great job. He's in agreement that Julian Sain will be the first quarterback off the board.
Ooh.
You might want to think about that before you make your odds.
I'm willing to make the bet with you. I will say that one of the draft projections I pulled up has Arch Manning going one, Jeremiah Smith going two, Dante Moore going three, and then CJ Carr going seven. Again, there's so many of them out there, but that's one that I've seen.
Okay, my first this or that, he kind of alluded to this.
Oh.
Will Jeremiah Smith be the rare wide receiver to go number one overall in the NFL draft or no? Especially it's going to be a really good quarterback draft, allegedly. That's what they said about this year's quarterback draft, so it wasn't.
Dave, that's exactly where I was going to go with my answer to that, but I was going to spin it to Carnell Tate. Would Carnell Tate end up being drafted higher than Jeremiah Smith because of the quarterback situation?
Ooh.
That was going to be your this or that?
I can't imagine JJ's going to fall to four. He is the definition of a generational talent. I guess I'll go first. I will say I am getting with he will be the number one overall pick.
I don't think so. Okay. And I think it comes back to the quarterbacks. And so I think you're going to see probably one, maybe two quarterbacks before Jeremiah Smith, even though Jeremiah Smith probably is the sure thing lock. I think there will be guys drafted ahead of him.
I would be stunned if he fell to four or later, because like that would be insane just because of the talent that he is. I think I tend to lean towards Scotty just because of like the Jets most likely will need a quarterback. And if they end up at one, like, cause I'm also thinking like what teams, because Jeremiah Smith is that worthy of a big package to trade up to number one to get him. But if it's a team that is in desperate need of a quarterback that cannot trade back, that Arch wouldn't be available or Dante Moore wouldn't be available. Julian Sain maybe not available. So I think I lean more that way of where a quarterback will be drafted first or second before Jeremiah.
All right, guys, we're going to go food. It is actually National Pretzel Day, believe it or not. National Pretzel Day. So my question for you guys, the topping on your soft pretzel, are you going with cheese or are you going mustard? Or you could go with a different topping altogether. But what is your topping for your soft pretzel? Cheese, mustard, or something else?
I'll go cheese. Yep.
Yeah, cheese for me as well.
You like drinking mimosas right now live on the air?
I love a good spicy mustard, though. I'm going spicy mustard over cheese.
Okay.
Cheese, I want the chips. I want the nachos with my cheese.
I don't discriminate with give my melted cheese.
Yeah, give me the nice spicy mustard.
Rhyme time.
I'm not a big spicy guy, so like that's why I'm not a mustard guy. Also, in general, so I think that's why I lean more towards cheese. But I'll go with a golf thing here because I've had this kind of debate in my head and maybe even with my wife about how I prefer sunset golf, and there's the argument of doing it first thing early, you're done then around noon or so, and it's as the sun is rising. But I feel like there is a cooler feeling of trying to beat the sun and do it in sunset. So are you with golfing in the morning or golfing more like afternoon, evening time?
I'm not nearly as big of a golfer as you guys are, but I have dabbled. I will go morning if I had to pick one of the two.
So to be honest with you, I will golf whenever. Right?
Yes, that's
that's the just answer the question.
I am absolutely good.
Answer the question.
Today my tee time is 12:50, and I'll happily not be golfing early morning or trying to beat the sun. So I'm doing it right, doing it both ways. But you know what? There is something special about like waking up and the first thing you're doing is you're getting ready for a round of golf and there's a little bit of dew on the grass and you could smell it and the lawnmowers have just gone through and the sprinklers were just done. So I'll go early morning golf.
I think that's a fair point, but the counterpoint to that is that it's then a little bit more wet. And so like True. If you go then in the late afternoon, evening, it's drier. You got better conditions most likely to where you can really fly at flag sticks. I don't know.
Softer greens, though.
That's also true. There's points both ways, yep. But I'm going to go sunset because I like the opportunity to beat the sun.
All right, my last one. All right, we are hosting the World Cup. There's going to be a couple cities in Canada and a couple in Mexico that are also hosting the World Cup, but it's mostly going to be in the United States. And I thought it was going to be fantastic, and it still might be. It's the World Cup. June and July. But there's all this talk about ticket prices being, just an absolute mess and transportation being an absolute mess and all this other stuff. You guys getting with the World Cup is going to be awesome. If you had to pick one or two, because I think it might be in between these. If you had to pick one or two, lean which way or the other. Is the World Cup going to be awesome or somewhat of a fiasco?
I think awesome. Like, to me, I don't care what the ticket prices are because I'm not going, right? Like, if some crazy person wants to pay $4,000 or $5,000 to get into the stadium, good for them. Like, I feel the same way about the Super Bowl. I don't think the Super Bowl is good or bad based on the ticket prices. Like, do I care if the people are having a really good time at the game? Not really. I'm going to be sitting on the couch watching or at the casino watching. So, yeah, I think it'll be good.
I agree. I will it be awesome? I don't know. I do not think it's going to be a fiasco, despite all of the maybe warning signs that it could be. I think it's going to be more awesome than fiasco.
I think the games itself are going to be electric. I will say that. But maybe the stuff outside of it, getting there, and yeah, maybe a little bit of ticket prices, but mostly what I've seen of actually getting to the games, that could be a little chaotic. But I think the games are going to be a lot of fun.
But who cares what other idiots are going to pay for these tickets?
I get that part of it. But like, then you hear like people like, I mean, you want to be like, I don't know. You want to be hospitable to people coming to the country, right? And people are, you don't want to gouge them for like, okay, now transportation, whatever it normally is going to be 20 times that.
Yeah.
I get Philadelphia credit. Philadelphia is saying they're going to have free transportation. Every other city's like, let's jack it up and make as much money as we can.
Yeah, I've heard New Jersey is an absolute mess right now with like their parking and like wanting to do like subways and metro and stuff. It just sounds like it's going to be a mess there.
If you want to sell one of your children, you can afford tickets maybe. If you can sell your house, you can afford transportation. So we'll see. I do think it's going to be awesome though. All right. What are Ohio State's odds to make the college football playoff in 2026? This is interesting. And what are the national title odds across the board? We're going to let you know next on the
strike. Fires, hurricanes, earthquakes. Direct Relief delivers. No politics, no red tape. Direct Relief is a lifeline to people in crisis. So check them out at directrelief.org. And if you can, donate.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. If you can't find something to bet on, you're not trying hard enough. You're listening to On the Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
All right, if you'd like to bet on Ohio State to win the national championship in 2026, they are your odds-on favorite, but it's plus 550. I mean, if you're confident, I mean, plus 550. We saw it a couple years ago. I think they were the favorite, and it was like plus 325 or something like that, or around there, plus 350. So plus 550. And I'm going to give you the national title odds for the top nine teams. And then we're going to look at the odds to make the college football playoff, which are very interesting. I'll explain in a moment. But the national title odds, again, Ohio State plus 550. Number two, Notre Dame is 7-1. Number three, Texas, 7.5-1. Indiana's fourth, 8-1. Oregon, 8.5-1. Sixth is Georgia, 9-1. I think there could be a little value there. I'm not predicting that Georgia's going to win it all, but 9-1, I think there might be a little value there on the Bulldogs. Seventh, Miami Hurricanes, 12-1. Texas Tech, 15-1. And then ninth, Texas A&M, 19-1. All right, this is interesting to me. To make the college football playoff odds, number one is Notre Dame, minus 700. Makes sense,
yep.
Right? They're the number two, you know, lowest odds to win the national championship, and they have an easier schedule than a lot of the teams around them, minus 700. Then it goes, second place is Texas Tech, minus 400. Then it's got to be Ohio State, right? Because Ohio State's the betting favorite to win the national championship. Wrong. Number three is Indiana, minus 340. These are odds to make the college football playoff. Number four, Miami, minus 300. It's got to be Ohio State next, right? Nope. Oregon, fifth, minus 280. Sixth, the Ohio State Buckeyes, minus 250. That is very interesting to me. Georgia, then seventh, minus 230. Texas, minus 185 to make the college football playoff. Now, a couple factors here. Obviously, Ohio State has a very difficult schedule. It still is interesting to me that Ohio State is the betting favorite to win the national title, but they only have the sixth best odds to make the playoff.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I'm not surprised by it at all because of the respect for the schedule that Ohio State has to play. And you look at Indiana, and you said they're, what, first as far as the Big Ten teams as far as to make the college football playoff. Well, look at their non-conference schedule for next year. It's garbage. And that's why they have the best odds. Because, again, and this is the flaw in college football, unfortunately, it's like you are punished sometimes if you play a tougher non-conference schedule. And Ohio State is going to play one of the elite teams in Texas, and Indiana is not going to play anybody. Like, so that is a humongous advantage, obviously. And we go back to this last year, and I know there was a lot of people that were critical of Texas when they were making this complaint last year about, oh, this is why we should be in the playoff, because we played Ohio State, lost in the very first game of the season. And if we hadn't played Ohio State in the very first game of the season, we would have made the 12-team playoff with two losses. They would have been in.
They played like a MAC team. Even if they played like our friend like Eddie George and Bowling Green, like not even a good MAC team. Like
could have played Florida International.
Anybody.
Could have played
10-2 Texas is making it in.
Absolutely.
Right. Yep.
And so you look at Ohio State's schedule, and you're like, well, you could see them losing that first game against Texas, or that, sorry, the second game against Texas, and you can maybe see them dropping two Big Ten teams. And that's why the make the playoffs odds are so different than your national championship. Notre Dame, look at Notre Dame. If Notre Dame is 10-2, Notre Dame is going to make a 12-team playoff. And you look at that Notre Dame schedule, and I don't see there any way that they lose three games.
I mean, last year they didn't.
So
you said 10-2, Notre Dame is definitely getting in. You sure?
I think
they will, but they didn't last year.
I think the difference, though, is this year they're going to start out there as probably number one or number two in the country, right? And I just don't
see
them. I just don't see them losing three, and so I'd be shocked. And everybody thought Notre Dame was getting in at 10-2.
Yeah. Here's the thing about Ohio State. Now it would depend on the losses, and it would depend on. If you're an Ohio State fan, hopefully there's no losses, right? Let's say Ohio State finishes 9-3. Stay with me here. They lose a close game at Texas. Texas ends up being a top five team. All right. They lose, let's say, a close game at Indiana and a close game at home against Oregon. All those teams are top 10 teams when the dust settles. So they're 9-3, and they have some quality wins. You know, that they would mix in a quality win maybe at USC, Michigan at home, at Iowa. Depends on what happens with Illinois. So they're sitting there at 9-3. I think that 9-3 Ohio State team has a really good chance of sneaking in.
I would think so.
Yeah.
With that schedule.
Yeah.
You would think 9-3. The other crazy thing is, Dave, what if you have two losses? Let's say, as you said, well, let's say they lose because they're going to be a small underdog at Texas.
We would think
that right now the look ahead line is Texas minus 2.5.
Okay.
So let's say that holds and they're a slight underdog and they lose that game. And they lose one of the regular season games in the Big Ten. And then you get to the Big Ten championship game and you have two losses and you suffer a loss that would be your third loss in the Big Ten championship game. Is there any way that a third loss in the Big Ten championship game would knock you off? It shouldn't.
No, because I think they said that it would be like Alabama this past year. They unless they change how they do it, they said they're not going to punish the team that they have in. Let's say there was no SEC championship game last year, that Alabama 10-2 would have been in.
Yeah.
So they're not going to punish the team for having to go play an extra game in their conference championship game. So 10-3 Ohio State in that situation, or 10-2, they go to the Big Ten championship game, they lose. To me, that would be an absolute lock at 10-3.
Yeah, I'm with you. So again, that's a huge issue with college football. Indiana's non-conference schedule for this next year is North Texas, the Howard Bison, and the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers. Like North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky, they'll win those three games by a combined probably 150 points. Right. And then, you know, and the other problem with these humongous conferences is you don't have balance as far as in conference, who's playing who. So it's so hard. And that's why I think you're seeing the numbers that you're seeing that you read off. Now, I am curious because the very first year of the 12-team playoff, we love to build these to make the playoff parlays. I wonder after last year, we saw teams like Clemson, who everybody had in the playoff at the start of the year, and Texas, who everybody had making the playoff last year too. I wonder if we'll see those odds change a little bit, because last year, if people were building those parlays, most people were probably throwing in Clemson and Texas thinking, oh, this will add a little bit of value. This is a lock team to make the playoff. I wonder if those will change a little bit after seeing a year where those locks didn't make it.
It's also interesting because in 2024, the first year of the 12-team playoff, you could parlay all those together if you wanted to, up to 9 teams to make the CFP.
Right. And well, last year on some sites.
Okay.
Some sites let you do it. Most do not.
Most, and yeah, the ones that I do, yeah. I use, do not let you do that.
Yeah.
So hopefully they go back on that. But yeah, it's interesting. Do you agree with me if you're looking at national championship odds that if I have to pick like a value, Georgia with the 6th best odds at 9-1. I feel like there's some value there for Georgia.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Hopefully they stink. I'm just saying. It's looking at it rash, I think there might be good value
it's
there.
It's tricky, though, because it feels like it's so bunched up as far as those teams with single-digit odds. You know, you've got Notre Dame, Ohio State, Indiana, Oregon, Texas, Georgia sitting there at single-digit odds. It almost, you know, we saw Miami last year take advantage of the fact that they played in a bad conference and got in. It kind of makes me wonder, is Texas Tech good enough? Because that conference isn't going to be that great. So it's almost a lock that you think Texas Tech probably gets into the playoff. You know, you got to kind of start thinking like that, right? As far as like path to get there.
That's a good point. That's why Texas Tech has the second best odds to make the CFP.
Yeah.
Notre Dame has the best odds, -700. Texas Tech -400. And I don't know if Sorsby is going to be great. He'll be an upgrade over the quarterback they had last year.
Yeah.
Morton. Like,
yeah.
Sorsby coming from Cincinnati and was at Indiana before that. He's a good quarterback. And they're paying him like he is an absolute. He's going to be one of those examples of guys that are making a lot more in college. He'll play in the NFL, I think. Yeah, Texas Tech, that's interesting. And you're getting 15-1 odds for them to make the national championship. And I will say, I thought they were legit last year, and then Oregon just completely smashed them, you know, 20
right.
to nothing.
Just I know. Absolutely that was just, like a 50-50 game. In fact, I think it was like maybe a pick 'em or maybe a 1-point spread, and they just got absolutely dominated that game. And then everybody kind of jumped on the, okay, now Oregon's maybe the team to beat, and then Indiana took care of them, like just absolutely destroyed them.
I'm really curious how Indiana's going to do this year. Again, 8-1 odds to make to win the national championship. Indiana being defending national champions in football, it's just never going to be not weird to say those words. But I was looking through my Phil Steele. He does a better job than anybody as far as picking like how teams are going to finish within their division, just overall. But everybody who does it, like he does the best. He had Indiana like sixth in the Big Ten last year. So even after their banner 2024 year, their breakthrough year, no one was believing. People didn't think Indiana was going to be bad last year, but no one was buying Indiana. I think they were started off like 20th in the AP poll. As I said, Phil Steele, the best in the business at doing it, had him sixth in the Big Ten. I'm just so impressed with Cignetti. I know it came at Ohio State's expense in the Big Ten championship game, but if we can take our scarlet and gray colored glasses off for a second, probably the coolest sports story that I can remember. Indiana going from absolute the doormat of all college football programs, the worst all-time record in the Power Four, to national champions. And it's going to be surreal being in Memorial Stadium this year. I've been there so many times, and it's always like 80% Buckeye fans, Scott.
Well,
and it won't be like that. There'll still be plenty of Buckeyes there. It won't be 80%. It won't be over 50%.
I still remember you and I were on with Anthony Rothman very early in the season, and we were looking at that Indiana-Illinois game, and we were talking back and forth, and we're like, okay, whoever wins this game is a good dark horse to make the college football playoff. And that was early in the season. That our thinking was, okay, win that game, and okay, maybe that team will sneak in and be a playoff team. And it's amazing to think the team that was 100-1, because college football has been a sport for a long time now where you don't have long odds teams win the championship. And Indiana was 100-1 to go to, at the start of the year, to go to win the whole thing. And then the amazing thing too is we followed that up
with the Seahawks,
who were 60-1.
Imagine if you parlayed those two.
Oh my gosh.
Bermuda. You could put $5 on it, you'd be in Bermuda right now. We'll never see that again. And maybe I'm wrong. We'll never see that again as far as NFL and college football combined. Were 100-1 odds and a 60-1 odds coming into the year. They're your national champion and Super Bowl champion. That was a one-time thing.
Oh, so all right. If you were to take a team, you got the list in front of you. You've been reading off these odds. If you were to take a team that nobody's talking about right now, like Indiana, let's put the parameters on. They have to be 25-1 or longer.
I was going to go with A&M at 19-1.
Actually, that was the reason.
I don't even know if that would count, though, because can you even go with the team that, well, Indiana made the playoff the previous year, so yeah, I guess you can. That's the thing that's funny about Indiana. Like, it wasn't like they were just Indiana, and then last year they finally became good. They were really good in 2024. No one was just buying it, though. Well, yeah, but they lost to Ohio State and Notre Dame. The games weren't all that close. Yeah, the two teams that played for the national championship, Ohio State and Notre Dame, those are their only two losses. And everybody had kind of wrote off Indiana coming in last year. I don't know. Let me think about that. I think it would have to be a team in the Big Ten or SEC.
Really? Okay.
If you're talking about if a team from the Big 12 wins it, I would think it would be like a Texas Tech. Or a team from the ACC wins it, I would think it would be a team like Miami. I think if you're talking about a dark horse, like the Indiana of this year, which probably won't happen, you're probably talking about another like Big Ten team that rises up and gets it done. Or you're talking about an SEC team.
So are you thinking like an Iowa? Iowa sitting there at 100-1.
I almost said I can't imagine Iowa winning the national championship, but how about the year after Indiana wins the national championship?
Hey, yeah. I pulled this number real quick. So, you know, we were talking about Seattle 60-1, Indiana 100-1. You would never parlay it. But let's say you had Biff's Almanac and you saw that was the case and you did the parlay. I want you guys to guess at what the odds would be if you put $1 on it. Indiana and the Seattle Seahawks winning championships last year, $1 on that two-way championship parlay.
It'd be, you'd win $1.
$1.
You'd net $5,000.
Okay. Jacob?
Yeah, I was probably going to go around there. I'll go like...
Do Price Was Right and go like $1.
Yeah.
I overbid!
I'll go $4. I'll go $4,000.
Okay. $1 on it would have paid $61.60.
Okay. That's relatively close.
So $6,000.
I should have gone above.
$6,000.
160-1. For the odds, if you could have parlayed that.
That's crazy.
Maybe we should just start doing all these random $1 parlays.
I think one time in Best Bets last year, you said I would parlay the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl and Indiana to win the national championship. Because you're so good at Best Bets.
Right.
Speaking of that, Best Bets is coming up next on The Money.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
We have
The Fan weeknights at 6 for the Buckeye Show. And if you're asking if it's just a bunch of homers rooting for all things Ohio State,
yes, yes it is.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
And now back to a show featuring two dudes who've been kicked out of their homes by angry wives. This pretty much sums up every show we have here on The Fan. You're listening to On The Money.
Sponsored by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
It's that time. It is money-making time on The Money, where we hand out our best bets for this Sunday. And probably my favorite May sporting event is the PGA Championship. So we get our second golf major of the year. And I've got three guys circled. I'm coming off the Masters where I had Cam Young and got so close to cashing.
I was right there with you.
Oh, so brutal. So close to cashing that big ticket. Hedged out a little bit, so made a little bit on the Masters, but not enough. But I've got a couple PGA tickets I want to give out. One of which, a little bit of a longer shot, but he has been playing amazing golf and he's still 25-1 and it's Matt Fitzpatrick. And he won a couple weeks ago and he and his brother are actually at the Zurich Classic this week and they are up four shots going into Sunday. I think they'll pull off that win, but he's 25-1 at the PGA Championship later on this month. I like the chances there. Again, I'm grabbing Cam Young again. Jacob, I'm going back to the Cam Young well. He was right there. He's 18-1. And then I've got John Rahm, who again just kills it on the LIV Tour. He's 13-1. So those are my PGA Championship bets for later on this month. Dave, what best bets do you have for this Sunday?
I like my futures bets. I'm going to do a little long shot bet here. I shouldn't even say it because it's my team, but Cincinnati Bengals to win the Super Bowl. Plus 2,500.
Oh, yes. I'm right there with you. On draft day, we did our videos.
That's right.
And I said 25-1. Get it now.
Yeah, 25-1. So I like that. I was trying to find a good. Is Tyler Reddick going to win another NASCAR race? Michael Jordan's driver is dominating NASCAR with Michael Jordan's old 45 number that he briefly wore. I know you're a big NASCAR fan. Tyler Reddick is just dominating NASCAR this year. Okay, I'm boring everybody now. But yeah, give me the Bengals. I like what they're doing a lot. Give me them at 25-1. As you said, and Ryan said on the Collins show, the biggest thing for the Bengals will be Joe Burrow staying healthy. You tell me he stays healthy, man, they're going to be really good this year. Does that mean they're going to win the Super Bowl? I mean, it's 25-1. They're still a long shot, but I think they're going to be really good because what do they need to do? They needed to get their defense to at least average. I think it's going to be better than average. Their defensive line is going to be fierce. They still have a lot to be desired at linebacker. Surprised they did not address that in free agency or the draft. They had the two rookies from last year. They got one in the second round, one in the fourth round. They both struggled, but they were rookies. So there are still some things about the Bengals I'm not thrilled with, some depth situations with corner and a few other positions, but overall, I really like this roster. And they just did something they never do, trading the 10th pick for Dexter Lawrence. That's just so out of character for them, but it's in character for teams like the Rams or the Eagles or the Chiefs, you know, teams that like win Super Bowls and stuff like that, and Seahawks, you know what I mean? Like, so you had to think outside the box and they did. I think getting Dexter Lawrence was absolutely huge. Knowing they could have had Caleb Downs gives me a little pause there, but I would do it all over again for sure.
I love the 25-1. I'm in with you. Let's do that one. Couple quick notes. So NFL Rookie of the Year odds are out now that we have the draft done. Jeremiah Love, the favorite at 2-1. Fernando Mendoza, 4-1. Carnell Tate, also 4-1. So those are your odds on Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Mendoza, it's interesting because they have Kirk Cousins, and they might give him the Carson Palmer redshirt year, the Patrick Mahomes redshirt year. So I would go either, and I think Tate's got a really good chance. He's going to be wide receiver one in Tennessee, young quarterback, Cam Ward entering year two. That's an interesting one. If I had to pick one, it would be Love. I think that was a good pick. And I know it surprised a lot of people because they have running backs. had maybe in Arizona. But I think Jeremiah Love is fantastic. All right, that is our show for today. Thank you very much for joining us. For Scotty Vegas and Jacob Reimer, I am Dave Biddle. Up next is Fan Sports Sunday with Cole Bartemus and Dylan Gonzalez. This has been On the Money.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.